Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 19. We've been going through the Gospels, trying to go as close to chronologically as we can for several years now on Sunday nights. And we've had some breaks along the way, but just working our way through the Gospel, we're actually, there's a ton of content here. The last week of Jesus' life before he died on the cross. Tonight we're going to look at just two verses, and there are a couple of times in Scripture where there are some commentaries that are given, like these particular verses, and there's some debate about exactly when these things happened and exactly where it falls in, but there's a couple of great truths here that I want to share with you tonight. I pray it'll be a conviction to our hearts. And so if you're able, let's stand together. Luke 19, verses 47 and 48 will be our text for tonight. And like I said, there's some debate about exactly when these would fit into this last time of Jesus' life here on the earth, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you. You can maybe study that out a little bit, but I believe that it fits in right here where we've been studying. So Luke 19, 47, the Scripture says, "And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. They could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your great love and your mercy. I pray that you would forgive us for any sin that's in our lives. I pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that as we come before your word tonight, that you would speak to our hearts and give us a heart to hear from you, Lord, today and every day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Two simple truths I want to share with you tonight. One is Jesus is still in the business of teaching daily. Amen. And two, Jesus is still hated in the world today. Amen. Jesus is still teaching daily. He taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. I just want to give you a few practical thoughts tonight as you consider the fact that towards the end of Jesus' life, I believe that Jesus came in and out of Jerusalem many times. He would go in and teach at the temple. He would come out. It's been several weeks ago, but Brother Ben preached a message about when Jesus cursed the fig tree. And again, another point in Scripture where there's some debate about exactly how all that went down. I personally believe Jesus cursed the fig tree on the way in. And when he came back out the next day, the disciples saw it immediately withered. They didn't notice it, but they saw it the next day when they came out. And as Jesus was going in and out, he was daily going to the temple and he was teaching there. Now, the reality is anybody who knew anything knew that Jesus was in Jerusalem. Remember, the multitudes would follow him. When he went out into Galilee, they would follow him. When he was at Capernaum, they would follow him. When he went out to a desert place to try to come away from everybody, the multitudes would follow him. It was no secret that Jesus had come to Jerusalem. It was no secret that he was showing up in the temple and teaching there. And so anybody who wanted to meet with Jesus, anybody who wanted to hear from Jesus, anyone who wanted to learn from Jesus could go to the temple at this time and listen to Jesus teach. Amen. Now, I just wonder if you and I were alive at that time and we didn't know what was coming. Jesus knew what was coming. He was about to go to the cross. Even his closest disciples didn't understand what was going to happen. They didn't understand it. God had kind of hidden those things from them. They didn't understand till later. But let me just ask you this. If you were alive at that time and you had heard about the fame of Jesus and maybe you had been healed by Jesus or someone you knew had been healed by Jesus and you knew he was showing up at the temple every day teaching, wouldn't you want to go hear Jesus teach? Amen. Listen, I know some people sometimes you've got some, we've had some great preachers in our work. We've had some great preachers come and preach at this church. And I know sometimes when some of those evangelists that you like to listen to are going to be in the area, some of you will drive 30, 45 minutes an hour just to go hear somebody preach that you like to hear preach. And I'm just trying to say that if Jesus was coming to town and he was going to be at the temple preaching, we might make some time to go listen to him. I mean, wouldn't you want to hear Jesus expound the Scriptures? Amen. And can I just challenge you with this reality today? You can still listen to Jesus teach today. Amen. You can still hear from Jesus today, but you're going to have to be intentional to meet with Jesus. We talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class the other day, but Mark 1:35 says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he," being Jesus, "went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Jesus got up early in the morning to meet with his Heavenly Father. He was intentional about getting time alone with his Heavenly Father. And you and I, if we want to learn at the feet of Jesus, we're going to have to be intentional about meeting at the feet of Jesus. You might have to get up a little early and go spend some time alone with him before your day gets started. Or maybe you do that, and then when it's lunchtime, maybe you get alone with the Lord. Maybe you get off, maybe just in your truck somewhere, or maybe at a picnic table somewhere at work, whatever it is, but you're intentional about getting alone with God. Amen. Sometimes we're going to have to set aside some other things. We remember that Martha was cumbered about and was busy doing much work, but Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes we're going to have to set aside some of the busyness of our day and just go and sit at the feet of Jesus. We've got to be intentional. Listen, time with Jesus isn't going to happen accidentally. You have to be intentional about making that time. You have to make time with Jesus a priority. There are certain things that we make priorities in our life. I think it's interesting that we schedule certain things and we don't let anything else crowd those out. Now, how many of you, can I get a show of hands? How many of you regularly go to the dentist, maybe once or twice a year? You see your hands, look around, Phil, let's see how proud we can be. All right. Now, when you make an appointment with your dentist, you usually set that side of time. You're very intentional to keep that appointment, and you make sure that you're there. Right? Now, how many of you honestly like to go to the dentist? You want to try? Is that something you look forward to? Sister Phyllis is yes. Amen. You're all alone. No, I'm just kidding. I think somebody else in the back raised their hand too. No, most of us don't love going to the dentist because most of us, let's just be honest, we don't exactly take care of our teeth all the time like we should. Some of you do, and God bless you for it. But listen, when you go to the dentist, you want to be able to answer all those questions right. They want to know if you brush twice a day, and they want to know if you floss once a day, and they want to know. And by the way, they can tell when you're lying. Amen. They know. They know you go in there like, oh, yeah, I brush twice a day, floss every day. And they're like, I don't think so. And if you are, you're not doing it right. Right? So listen, we set that time aside. We have a time scheduled that's an appointment that we want to keep because for some of us that's important to us because we'd like to keep our own teeth in our head till the end, right? And we like that idea, and so we keep those appointments. Some of you have doctor's appointments, and your doctor's appointments are very important to you, and you set them on the calendar, and you're very intentional about keeping them, and you're very intentional about blocking other things out so you can have that time. And I'm just trying to say that things that are important to you, you put on the calendar, and you make sure nothing else interferes with that, and there ought to be nothing more important on your calendar every day than to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. To sit at his feet and learn from him. We want to be intentional about meeting with him privately, individually. We want to be intentional about meeting with him as a family. Amen. It ought to be that the dads in the room are intentional about leading your families in family worship. It ought to be intentional that maybe dad's not around, but mom, that you're intentional about it. And whatever your family dynamic looks like, that whoever the leader in the family is says, listen, we are as a family going to spend time worshiping Jesus together. We're going to pray together, and we're going to read the Bible together, and we're going to sing songs together, and we're going to worship the Lord together as a family. We've got to be intentional about that. You've got to make it a priority every day. Got to make it a priority every day. I know some of you moms, you don't let your kids go to bed without brushing their teeth. Some of you moms, you don't let your kids go a day without taking a bath because kids need a bath every day, sometimes more than once a day. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, you know it's been a good day when the day's over and there's a ring of dirt, a ring of mud around the tub when the kids are done. That's been a good day. Kids have had a fun day. Listen, it's important. There's things that you make sure that are done in your house. You make sure your kids do certain things. Well, nothing should be important, more important for your family than spending time with Jesus. Amen. He's still available. He's still teaching, but you have to be intentional to meet with him privately. You have to be intentional meeting with him as a family, and we must be intentional about meeting with him corporately as a church. Amen. Can I just remind you of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, we want to draw near to God, and we want to draw near to God together. There needs to be a time that we come together, that we come together to worship, that we come together to consider one another, that we come together to encourage one another. God opened a door today, got to share the gospel with a young family today. I was so thankful for that opportunity. It's one of the things I got to talk to them about, that we don't want to just believe in Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. Jesus came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. But then Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And I encouraged that young family that they needed to get in the word of God and encourage them to come. I said, listen, getting to heaven's not about going to church, but when you believe and when you have trusted in Jesus, you need to come together to worship him together. But we come together to strengthen one another. We come together to encourage one another in our walk with Christ. Amen. So we want to come together. And we want to encourage one another, be intentional to meet him. And then we need to be attentive to hear him. We need to be attentive to hear him. This word, attentive, is a great word. It's used only once in the New Testament. And it literally means to hang upon. It has the idea of hanging on every word. Have you ever heard something, maybe somebody told a story, and you were sitting on the edge of your seat, just hanging on every word? Have you ever experienced that? I mean, obviously you're not right now, but have you ever at another time experienced that? Yeah, I know. Listen, I've sat through a lot of Sunday night sermons. I know how it is. Most of us have the attention span of a squirrel. Right? I mean, pastor reads the verses, and maybe it's not even just a, you know, fleshly thing. Maybe as he's reading the scriptures, that scripture makes you think of another scripture. Did that ever happen to anybody? And then you're over here, and the sermon's going on, but you're somewhere completely else, chasing rabbits somewhere else. Yeah, see? And then you're thinking about other things, and we get distracted. I've always been amazed by this. When I'm listening to somebody preach, sometimes I have that time where I zone out, and then they'll say something like this: I want to tell you a story. And there's something that happens, and I don't know if it's from when we were little kids and we had story time at school, but when the pastor says or the preacher says, I want to tell you a story, most of you perk up. Oh, story time. Oh, goody, story. And we love that. And we love that. And some of you, you know, if there's certain things that I could talk about and it would draw your attention. Some of you love football, and I could start telling you a story about football and it piques your interest. And some of you, I could start talking about deer hunting and that would get your interest and you would be attentive to that. I could talk about guns. Thank you. My goodness. I mean, you tee them up sometimes and nobody even swings. I could talk about all kinds of things. I know most of the older generation in our church, one of the things they like to talk about and hear about more than anything is the grandkids. Right? And I don't know why y'all think grandkids are better than kids. You can't even have grandkids without kids. Uh-huh. But I love the fact that while Jesus is teaching daily in the temple, there were those there, the majority, the people, the average person who was at the temple to worship, they were very attentive to hear him. Now listen. I try desperately. I pray that God will help me not to ever be boring when I preach the Word of God. I don't want to be boring. I want to do God's Word, do justice. And I try my best by the grace of God to be a good preacher. And I want to be a better preacher. You can appreciate that, right? You're like, and if I'm not, it's your fault you're not praying hard enough. Pray harder and maybe I'll get better. Listen, I understand that there's different preaching styles that people like in preference to another preaching style, and there's certain speakers that you like compared to other speakers, and I get all that, I understand all that, but at the end of the day, this isn't about me. It's not about whoever's up here preaching. It's about the Word of God. Amen. It's not about hearing what Brother Isaac has to say. It's about hearing what Jesus has to say. This isn't about hearing from me, it's about hearing from him. And I just want to tell you that at the end of the day, no matter what story or illustration or kind of outline or lack of an outline there is, none of that really matters. What matters is, do you want to hear from Jesus? Amen. Are you attentive to hear from him? Are you hanging on his every word? Because I want to tell you, sometimes all it takes is when the preacher gets up, and I listen to a lot of preaching on podcasts and different things, and I love to listen to preaching. I'm telling you, sometimes all he's got to do is read the text, and I'm hanging on every word because it's the Word of God. And sometimes all it takes is just reading the text, and I've been moved. Amen. Because it's God's Word. I mean, even some of you, I could see it in your eyes just when I was reading. You could just get that sense. When you read this, all the people were very attentive to hear him. Amen. And some of you in your heart said, amen. Amen. I want to hear him. I want to hang on his every word because I don't care if you've been in church your whole life. It's still the Word of God. Amen. I don't care if you've read the text 100 times. It's still the Word of God. I don't care if you think you know all the Bible stories. You don't. Because most of us can't remember who Uz and Buzz are. But they're in there. And you're like, what? That was Buzz Lightyear. No. And some of you, right now, you're going to be getting your phones out and you're going to be searching for Uz and Buzz. I know. No, we want to be attentive to the very Word of God. We want to be attentive to hear from him. John 7:46, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. John 12:21, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Luke 4:22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? In Luke 24:32, after Jesus resurrected and he walked with those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And I want to tell you that though Jesus has risen again and though Jesus has ascended to heaven, he's still in the business of teaching today. And I want to promise you, I promise you that if you will seek God's face in prayer and you will open up his word and you will read his word and you will listen to him, he will cause your heart to burn within you while he reveals himself to you through his scriptures. Amen. He wants to teach you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give his word to you. What we need to do is be like Samuel. When the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen. And we need to be men and women, and listen, and boys and girls who want to hear from Jesus. Amen. Jesus is still teaching daily to those who will be intentional to meet with him and those who will be attentive to hear from him. And Jesus, though you love him, though he is precious to those who believe, he is the stone that's been set aside by the builders. He was rejected of men. He was hated then, and he is hated today. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. I confess to the the young couple that we got to share the gospel with today, I confessed to them that I believe that I've been guilty of breaking all the commandments. Now, that makes some of the people who actually know the commandments a little nervous. Because one of them says, thou shalt not kill, which means thou shalt not murder. And when you're standing at somebody's house and you say, I've broken all the commandments, they're like, oh, really? He's a confessed murderer and he's at my house inviting me to church. I try to be quick to clarify, I haven't actually ever murdered anybody. But I have hated people. Now, some of you are better than me. You've never hated anybody. You've just strongly disliked people. Which is the same as to say you hated them. I wonder if you were honest in your heart tonight, if there's been a time that you hated somebody enough that you wanted to destroy them. If we were honest in our heart, honest with ourselves, because there's been some people that I strongly dislike, there's been some people that I had hatred in my heart towards. There's been some people, if I'm honest, I just wanted real bad stuff to happen to them. Whether I did it or somebody else did it, I just wanted bad things to happen to them. Anybody else felt that way? Like, I don't want to be alone up here in my confession tonight, please. But even at the worst, there's been very few times that I wanted to actually destroy somebody. But if I'm honest, I've had that kind of, that anger in my heart. But these men, when they heard the truth of Jesus, they wanted to destroy him. This word destroy means exactly what it sounds like. They wanted to annihilate Jesus. They wanted to completely eradicate him. This is the same kind of hatred that we saw towards the martyrs. This is the kind of hatred when they murdered people for standing for the truth of God. They weren't satisfied just to kill them. They wanted to torture them. They wanted to make them suffer. There are some martyrs that they hated to the point that not only did they murder them, torture them, and then murder them, but then later they dug their bones up and burned them because they hated them so much. This is the kind of hatred that these had towards Jesus. They wanted to destroy him. And I want you to know that Jesus is still hated today. But here's the truth, the practicality I want to give you very quickly. When you consider the hatred the world has for Jesus today, be careful of your attitude. Be careful of your attitude, because we might find ourselves being judgmental toward the lost, and by being judgmental towards others, we may be in judgment on ourselves. It's no surprise that those who aren't saved would hate God. It's no surprise that the world would hate Jesus. He said they would. And if we're not careful, we will retaliate towards, with their hatred towards the things of God. We'll retaliate, we'll respond, we'll react with hatred towards them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Listen, in this political climate we have in America today, there's a lot of Christians who are trying to stand for the truth and they're trying to stand for righteousness, but they're not doing so in love. And we've got to learn to find that balance. It's okay to stand up and say, this is the truth, thus saith the Lord, without hating somebody else who is standing in opposition to God. I just want to warn you tonight that we shouldn't hate them. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to love them. We're to love our enemies. And Jesus gave us the example. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And don't tell me it's impossible, because Stephen, when he was stoned, he cried out to God, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Amen. These are the people who are literally hurling rocks at him to kill him, and he's praying for them. And I'm telling you today, in our political climate, I see it on social media all the time, and nobody's throwing any actual rocks. They're just throwing words at each other. But I see Christians who are responding with venom, Christians who are responding with hate, Christians who are responding in an evil way. And listen, that's not the place we want to be. Amen. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. We need to be careful. We need to be careful of our attitude. How about this? How about this? How about we have compassion for those who hate Jesus? How about we do good to them? How about we love them? How about we love them enough to keep telling them the truth, though it will make them hate us more? We give them the truth and we do it in love. They haven't rejected you, they rejected him. We need to be careful of our attitude. Next, can I say we need to be careful of our actions. We need to be careful of our actions. We may not only have a bad attitude, we may have bad actions. It may be that we honor Christ with our lips, but we deny him with our lives. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We can sit in judgment and we can say, I don't hate Jesus. I don't want to destroy Jesus. I love Jesus. I honor Jesus. I worship Jesus. We can come and we can say, Lord, and we can say, I love you, Lord, and we can say all the right things. But I want to warn you tonight, because if we say all the right things, but we go out the doors and we live in opposition to what we've said, we've only brought greater condemnation on ourselves. You say, those people out there, they hate Jesus and they hate God and they hate the things of God, and you look at them as though they're the enemy, that they're so awful. But I want to tell you that our hypocrisy stinks in the nostrils of God. When we say one thing and we do another. When we honor him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him, we need to be in a place of repentance. Jesus is still teaching daily. We need to be men and women and boys and girls who are attentive to hear from him. And Jesus is still hated today, but our response to them must not be a wrong attitude, it must not be wrong actions, but our response must be to love them in the name of Jesus. Tonight I want to ask our musicians to come, and while they're coming, I want to ask you to stand with me. Are you attentive to hear from Jesus daily, privately, with your family, corporately, with your church? Are we committed to sitting at his feet to learn from him? We've got to be intentional about it. We've got to be attentive to it. If he is convicting your heart, maybe you just need to renew your commitment. Lord, I used to study my Bible real faithfully, and I haven't been doing it. Lord, help me to get back in the Word every day. Maybe you tried starting family devotions, and you did real good for a little while, and then you got busy, and you got out of the habit. Maybe there's a mom or a dad here tonight that just needs to say, Lord, help us to get back to it and stick with it. Listen, a righteous man falls 7 times, and he rises up again. We know the right things the Lord wants us to do. We can't do it in our own strength. So the time is now to ask him to help us to be attentive to him. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.
Page 520.